Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Hello, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
How are you doing?
All right.
Do you remember the day you were ordained a deacon?
I do, very distinctly. It happened to be in Belgium where I was in seminary. Archbishop, now Cardinal Dolan, flew out and ordained me a deacon, and it was a nice celebration in the seminary and my family and others.
Mine was September 24, 2002.
Okay.
But the reason why I'm mentioning it is because then I have my first professional preaching the next day, not first mass, first mass as a deacon. And this was the gospel.
Okay.
And when I saw that says something about prostitutes and tax collectors enter the kingdom of God faster, then I said, I'm up for a very interesting professional ministry. I always remember that, yeah.
I didn't have to preach, but my first kind of mass alone, you know, as a deacon, besides the ordination mass itself, at 3:30 in the morning, I was driving Cardinal Dolan back to the airport. So he celebrated Sunday mass before he left. I think he preached that morning. It was just the two of us. It was a dark chapel at the seminary. And so that was my first kind of being on my own as a deacon. But a happy anniversary then. So that would be tomorrow will be 18 years of your diaconate.
As a deacon, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And it's one of the beautiful things we know, that we never cease to be a deacon.
Yeah.
I mean, the ordination of the priesthood doesn't erase your ordination as a deacon.
Right.
You know, deacon, diaconia means service, so we should always remember that that's the foundation of our priesthood.
Yeah, I think of great affection of my diaconate ordination and kind of the meaning of that, and I know you do as well, and I find that among many priests that I know.
Then I went to preaching practicum. You had to choose a parish, and I went to St. Peter and Paul.
Okay.
Father Tom Brandage was the pastor, and it was a wonderful community.
Yeah, it's a good parish over there.
Good.
How about we get on with the gospel for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and then we'll chat about it. So this is Matthew's gospel.
And we jumped a little bit, and we go to Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. So a shorter one.
My theory about that, in between here is Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. So it's possible the church in the lectionary saves that for Holy Week. And so that might be the reason for the jump of a chapter.
I think it is, yeah.
Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not,' but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him."
I love this gospel. Does it count as a parable? It's a dialogue, but it's a parabolic dialogue.
I would call it a parable. It's a good question. I would consider it a parable, one of these three parables here that are going on. I think so.
And Jesus is telling the chief priests and the Pharisees, "You are the ones who said yes, but then didn't show up." And the tax collectors and prostitutes, the sinners of that time, the marginalized, are those who said no at the beginning, but ended up showing up
right
to the vineyard, which is an image of the kingdom here on earth.
Exactly. This parable and the one we spoke of last week, they're unique to Matthew's gospel. They're not found in the other three gospels.
What I propose to you is that Luke looks at this parable when he composes The Prodigal Son.
Mm, okay.
How is that for a fascinating thought?
That is. That really provides insights here to think about this. I find somewhat unique because I'm not sure it happens much in the Gospels, but here is Jesus very directly praising John the Baptist. So very directly speaking about him by name and praising him. It sort of happens, I think, a little underneath the surface in the other Gospels. Here's just a very direct reference to there's something special about John. And I guess I would wonder then, given that, if perhaps there was a little bit of confusion that may have been introduced then to say, all right, who's the Messiah? You know, you're praising here John the Baptist. You're claiming to be the Messiah. So what's the relationship here? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes... I mean, I guess if I were sort of placing myself in these shoes here, I'd maybe have some questions with that.
I think Jesus is telling the chief priests and the Pharisees, somebody came first preaching righteousness and you didn't follow. Now I preach you something else and you don't follow either. I mean, so what do you guys need to be followers, you know?
Well, I think so. I think there are sort of maybe two groups here that are very clear, the religious leaders and then those who are really outcasts who in the yeah. end follow John's call to repentance. Those two simple realities.
Maybe Jesus is saying that either you experience some kind of marginalization in some way or another, or it's very difficult to understand what he's saying. I feel this very, very strongly. So either you experience what does it mean to be an outcast, mm-hmm. or then it's very difficult to follow, which is a great call for our parishes. Many of our parishes, we speak about the poor and the marginalized in the third person because they are not part of our communities. So how do we relate to the message of Jesus to say, no, that those who are outcasts, those who are marginalized, are the first ones who decided to convert and change.
So when sort of many of the distractions in life and the material things that we have are removed from you, sometimes there's an ability to trust in the Lord in an even deeper and a greater way. And we have the ability to do that on our own. Those who are in the outcast sometimes don't have that choice. There's the pain with that, but there's a special love and a special connection with the Lord who cared for them in a special way. I think the larger point here that I see is rather simple, the difference between saying and doing, you know, and that relationship.
Hypocrisy, right?
Yeah, which is a constant battle that we have all the time and a source of frustration I see as well. I see it in the context of a community, and I'll be honest, I've been frustrated at times with myself and others as we think about the pain that some people experience in terms of perhaps tension related to race, to economic status, to ethnic background, and the desire to hear certain things. Rather, I shouldn't say rather, but I also look at those who are disciples who live this out, who on a regular basis go into the parts of our cities and relationships with others are established, treating people as human beings. And I've always done that, you know, before we had some tragic events, which brought this to our awareness again. Mm-hmm. I get frustrated at times when there's, you know, a lot of talk and not quite the action. So, yeah, anything else?
Tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you.
Yeah, that's powerful.
What a powerful statement, and how many implications for us that tend to think that we are clean and not sinful, and how Jesus is saying this.
Right.
So my preaching may go in that direction. How do we provoke an experience of marginalization when we are not marginalized? Mm. I have an accent, but normally it's more considered cute more than anything else. But you know what I mean? How do we get our communities who some are, but some many are not really experiencing marginalization? So how do you connect to this very powerful statement?
Right. Right. Well, good. I've got to pray more and think more about this. This is a good start. So how about we wrap it up, continue our day, and then we'll get together again next week.
I'll see you next week, Philip.
All right. Take care.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.